Every year, we get the resolution itch and decide that this year is going to be different. We asked over 30 people what their New Year's resolutions were going to be for 2016, and here's what they had to say.
My New Year's resolution is to get some of my half-finished projects actually finished.
I want to be consistent and persistent in my walk with Jesus, and I want to do more to be a blessing to other people.
My New Year's resolution is to get fit.
Make sure I get up at 4:30 every morning and be a good partner with my wife and work out.
Put down my cell phone, turn off my computer, TV, and spend more time with my family.
No matter the resolution, by the time February is in full swing, we are back into our old rhythms, habits, and bad choices. So this year, instead of designing complicated plans that only address the symptoms, why not go after the root causes? This year, let's conquer 2016.
Hey, good morning, Friendship. I hope you have had a wonderful day so far, wiping off your snow with your car with snow and all that good stuff. I'm beginning to think that really in Indiana, it only snows on Sundays. I'm not sure why, but pretty much if it's Sunday and it's in the wintertime, it's probably a 90% chance of snow, and I could probably be the most accurate meteorologist in the state of Indiana. Okay, We are in the middle of our series called Conquer 2016. We're talking about the different things and the changes that we make in our lives, usually when the year rolls around, and the things that we're going to do and the things that we're going to try to change and all these different things. And you know, every year we tend to fall short. In fact, some of you were bold and brave enough, and we thank you so much for putting your resolutions on camera. If you are in the crowd and you are one of the people that put it on camera and you're sitting there going, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that because I haven't even come close to that, you know, just keep working at it. It's all good, and we'll finish it out. But you know, today we're going to talk about one of the things that I think it's talked about a lot, but we're going to do it just a little bit of a different shade of it. In the United States, we tend to be very happy people. We tend to be, you know, we just kind of enjoy things. And in fact, they did a survey a few years ago, and they asked several thousand people if they would consider themselves happy in their life. And about 67%, two-thirds, of people said that, yes, I am happy in my life. Now, what's interesting about it is that when they changed the question and they changed the wording just a little bit, they changed it to this: are you satisfied with your life? That number dropped more than in half. So less than half of the 67% that said that they were happy in their life said that they were satisfied with their life. And part of the reason is I think how we view this word or this idea of satisfaction, the definition of the word, maybe that'll help you even understand a little bit more, is this. Satisfied is the essence of having fulfilled desires, expectations, needs, and wants, to enjoy full contentment. And you know, we think about that, we're like, man, there are moments in my life that I'm happy. And happiness is about that. Happiness is about enjoying the moments, the time, the events that take place in our life. And you can think about that. You can all probably, you know, point to a time in your life when you knew, maybe even just like this last week, you were happy about it. You were excited about it. There were good things about it. The idea of satisfaction is this. It's answering the question, am I satisfied with how my life is turning out? Am I satisfied with the way things look in my life right now? And the reality is that the vast majority of us would say, I am not satisfied with my life. There are things that I want to change. That's why New Year's resolutions come around, right? There are things I want to do. There are things I don't want to do. We look at what we have and we go, I want more. We look at what we don't have and we say, that's not good enough. We look at who we are and we say, I've got to change this. And so this dissatisfaction of our lives really is one of the root causes of why we struggle so much making the changes in our life stick, because it's always something else that we're looking for. There's always something new that we got to look to. And so what I want to do today is I want to challenge you to be satisfied. Now, I know that sounds really weird for us, you know, that live in the United States, because the whole idea of America, right, is more. You know, you can get more of this, and you can get more of that, you can get a bigger promotion, you can get this, and you can get that, and go for it, go for it, go for it. And I'm not telling you that you shouldn't try your absolute best in every area. The Bible says that we should do that. We should do it for the honor and glory of God. I'm not telling you you shouldn't strategize and think about the future, because you should. The Bible says that's important. I'm not saying don't plan. It says you should plan. What I'm saying is be satisfied. Another word is the word content. Now that just, it really, and I'll just be honest with you, even in my own spirit, okay, when I say those words, I'm like, because what we hear, at least what I hear, is settle, right? Is that, anyone else think when you hear the word satisfied, content, it's like, just settle, just settle, it's okay. Just be okay with what you've got, stop striving for so much. And that is not what the Bible means when it says be satisfied or content with life and where you are. So I want to give you the key to being able to learn how to be satisfied. The key to learn how to be content with where you are, who you are, what you have, and what it is that you're doing. And the key is this. Here, this is the big idea for today. Satisfaction with life is found by enjoying God's blessings. Satisfaction with life is found by enjoying God's blessings. In other words, it's looking at all that your life is and enjoying it. Just simply enjoying it. And I know, if you've never been in church before, and you had, or maybe you grew up in church, and it was like, you know, do this, don't do that, and you maybe never heard the phrase, enjoy your life. But do you know that God literally desires that for you? God desires for you to enjoy your life. He desires for you to enjoy the blessings that he's given you. In fact, not only does God give us blessings, the Bible tells us that everything that we have, and God is in control of all things. Colossians chapter 1 says that Jesus Christ is the sustainer, the holder together of all things, and all things happen and are caused because of his either allowing or causing it to happen. And so therefore, everything that we have and everything that's in our world comes to us and is given to us by God. But yet God also does something else. He also gives us the gift of being able to enjoy the blessings that he's given us. You ever met somebody that had a lot of stuff and just didn't enjoy any of it? They're the crankiest, most miserable person on the face of the planet. You know those people that die and their kids come in and clean out their house that they've lived in for, you know, 85 years, and they never upgraded anything, and it was a dump, and they had like 1,000 cats, which right there, that should be a sign right there that there's something wrong. And they go in and they find like $10 million, you know, and they're like, what in the world? Because they never learned how to simply enjoy life. And God says, listen, I want you to enjoy. In fact, the Bible says it this way. I want you to enjoy a rich and satisfying life. So where we're going to be today is we're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes was written by a guy named Solomon, who happened to be the wisest, richest, most powerful man that ever lived. In fact, his wisdom was a wisdom that was a gift from God. God came to him and said, listen, I'll give you anything you want. Solomon goes, I want wisdom. And so God says, well, hey, instead of asking for power or wealth or fame, you asked for wisdom. So guess what? I'm going to give you all the other three things as well, because you're going to be wise enough to use them well. And so Solomon began, and he started out really, really well. But then this idea of dissatisfaction began to take root in his heart. And so with all these resources, with all the stuff that he had, with all the power, he began a reckless pursuit of trying to find how he could find satisfaction in life. And so he tried all these things, and the first five chapters of Ecclesiastes, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, are his list of all the things that he tried. And he tried, you know, getting more money, and if that would make him happy, and he says, no, it was just a waste of time. He tried relationships and sex, and he tried all these different things. He tried drinking and addictions and all. He tried everything that you could think of. He tried. And the end result was, you know what? Some of it gives you happiness for a moment, but it doesn't give you lasting satisfaction or contentment. And then he gets to chapter 6, and that's where we're going to be today, Ecclesiastes chapter 6. And he's going to give us four things, four blessings from God that he says, listen, if you really want to be satisfied, if you really want to find contentment in life, these are four of the blessings of God that you have to learn how to enjoy. So the first one is this: enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment. Ever experienced something, but you were so busy, so focused on something else, that you didn't enjoy the moment? Now, I want to challenge you with something, and I challenge the first service. I'm going to challenge you too. Those of you that are older than us, that have kids or had kids, and they're now older, you know what I'm about to say, and you will probably go, yes, absolutely, 100%. Those of you who are younger, who have kids right now, listen, please listen carefully. My daughters are now 18 and 16, okay? So let me just throw it out to you. Tracy and I will go through pictures. We'll talk about stuff. And we'll look at moments in time, and we're like, oh, man, that moment was so great. I wish we would have enjoyed that moment or that time in their life more. Now, we enjoyed it. We had fun. But you know what happens when you're young and you've got kids and you're worried about, you know, whether their hair is right or they've got clothes on or not or their shoes are on the right feet or if they've got boogers hanging out of their nose or whatever. You're so wrapped up in all of these things that sometimes the greatest moments in their life you miss because you're so concerned about something else. You know, God says that every moment is a gift from Him. Are you enjoying the moments of your life? Or are you so focused on what's next that you can't enjoy what's now? The writer Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 kind of illuminates this. And he says in the first two verses, there is another serious tragedy that I've seen under the sun, and it weighs heavily on humanity. Now pause for just a second, because this whole chapter is written from a Jewish mindset. And from a Jewish mindset, there were a handful of things that were considered to be the greatest blessings from God. One was wealth, the ability to have wealth and sustain wealth and not have to be dependent upon others. Another one was children, having lots of children. Another one was having a decent burial that was very important and a good name. And so as we go through this, I'm going to read it to you, but then also try to put it in our cultural context so that we can understand it and digest what he's saying. And so it begins with this, and he says, and it weighs heavily on humanity. God gives some people great wealth and honor and everything they could ever want, but then doesn't give them the chance to enjoy these things. They die, and someone else, even a stranger, ends up enjoying their wealth. This is meaningless, a sickening tragedy. Now, those of you that are currently working and you're squirreling away money so that one day, right, you can what? Retire. Retirement. Oh. Retirement. We all save money and we put it in and we look at our accounts and we invest and we strategize and we do this and we talk and we all do this because one day we're going to retire and we're going to move to Arizona and we're going to play golf and wear weird shorts and all sorts of stuff like that because we don't care anymore because we've got our money. I don't know about you, but I've known several people that have invested their entire life for the one goal of being able to retire. And then almost like the moment that they retire, their body begins to fall apart. Their health gives out. They die. They have a stroke. They have a heart attack. They develop cancer and they live another year and that's it. And they have spent 50 years waiting for the moment that they can retire. And the moment that they retire, they don't get to enjoy it at all. Solomon says that's a sickening tragedy because they were so focused on the end of the journey, they missed the joy found in the journey itself. You see, enjoy the moment. I know it may be tough. There are days when you look at your life and you look at work and you look at your car and you look at your house and you look at your kids and, yeah, even sometimes you look at your spouse and you go, I don't think I can enjoy this anymore. But you know what? Every moment should be savored and enjoyed because they're a gift from God. And when you learn how to enjoy the moments in life, the journey becomes the adventure and the journey becomes the destination, and you don't have to wait till someday to enjoy it. You can enjoy it right now. Enjoy the moment. Don't let moments in life pass you by. Don't be near the end of your life or even the end of your working days and look back and go, man, I wish I would have. That is the most sad thing Enjoy the moment. The second thing that Solomon says that we need to enjoy is we need to enjoy those around us. We need to enjoy those around us. And he talks about another blessing. He begins in verse 3. A man might have 100 children and live to be very old. Not necessarily like, hang on a second, time out. I thought this was supposed to be about a blessing. Remember, Jewish culture, lots of kids, was like God loved you, God blessed you, God had everything for you. You know, this is so important, this was really big. And so Solomon says, listen, this guy was so blessed by God, he had 100 children, and he lived to be very, very old. But if he finds no satisfaction in life and doesn't even get a decent burial, it would be better for him to have been born dead. Now, here's what he's saying. Listen, this guy could have been blessed by God with hundreds of children, but if he didn't enjoy them, if he didn't enjoy those things that God had given him, then when he dies, his kids aren't going to care, and they aren't going to give him a decent burial. And so he will have wasted this incredible blessing that God gave him because he simply didn't enjoy that which God gave him. Now, we're going to expand it for all culture because it's not just about kids. It's also about the people around you, those that are in your life. God gave you people in your life so that you could actually enjoy those people around you. And I want you to see what he says. Listen, if you don't enjoy those around you, it's better off that you were never born. And here's why. He says, because his birth would have been meaningless, and he would have ended in darkness. He wouldn't have even had a name, and he would have never seen the sun or known its existence. Yet, he would have had more peace in growing up to be an unhappy man. He might live in 1,000 years twice, 2,000 years old, but never find contentment. And since he must die like everyone else, well, what's the use? Someone says, if you go through your life and you don't learn to enjoy the relationships around you, you don't learn to enjoy the people around you, you know what? It'd be better off for you never to have lived because you are missing out on something so essential that God has put in your life. God literally puts people in your life so that you can enjoy them. Now, this is also cautionary. If some of you are going, there's not a single person in my life that I enjoy being around, one of two things should change, either you or the people around you. Because the people around you and the people that you spend your time with, the people that you invest your life in, should be people that you enjoy being around. Now, if you're a person that nobody else wants to be around, just let that sink in for a second. It may be because you're not enjoyable to be around. So be enjoyable to be around, and guess what? You get more people that want to be around you. And so you can enjoy the blessing of the people that God puts in your life. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moments in life as they come. Don't wait till later on to enjoy the moment because then it's too late. The moment's gone. Enjoy those around you. And third, enjoy what you have. Enjoy what you have. You know, this may be the most difficult part for us Americans in our culture. I mean, you can't watch TV or listen to the radio for 30 seconds without it telling you that you don't have enough, right? You may have just bought the brand new spanking pickup truck that has everything, and it's got Wi-Fi in it and satellite radio, and I mean, it's got everything. I mean, it's got, you know, not just heated seats, it's got a heated steering wheel, and I mean, it's awesome. And then lo and behold, a competitor comes out with something better, and you see the commercial on TV, and you're like, crap, I bought the wrong truck. Right? Because that's the way we are. That's the way we are in America. Everything, it's always like whatever you have, there's always something better. There's always something more. There's always something that you have to have that's going to make you happy. But here's the crazy thing. If you're always focused on what you don't have, you will never be able to enjoy what you do have. It'll never happen. And here's why. You go, oh, no. You don't understand. If I can just get that, I will be happy. No. Here's why. Because when you get that, that will be something that you have. And because you're always looking at what you don't have, you can't enjoy what you do have. See, it's a never-ending circle. If you don't have it, then you get it. Guess what? You won't enjoy it because it's not what you want. Because what you want is out there. You have to learn to enjoy what you already have. Look at what he says. Verses 7 through 9. He says, all people spend their lives scratching for food, but they never seem to have enough. If you take the richest of us, boil it all down to the basic thing, we all work so that we can eat. Because we know if we have food, we can make it another day. The other reason that we work for food is because we really enjoy food. Some of us more than others. We just really enjoy food. And so he says, listen, we work so that we can eat. He says, but here's the problem. You may make the greatest meal that you have ever made and post it on Facebook, and everyone's jealous of you and hates your culinary skills and all that stuff. But 24 hours after you eat the greatest meal you've ever eaten, what do you have to do again? Eat. Why? Because it's a cycle. And see, that is what life is like if you're always looking for what's next or what you don't have. He continues. He says, so, are wise people really better than fools? Do poor people gain anything by being wise and knowing how to act in front of others? Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. You see, when we get obsessed, I'm not even going to use the word obsessed, because it's not just when we get obsessed, it's when we get focused. It's when we think about what we don't have more than enjoying what we do have. It is a huge waste of time. It has never gotten you anything. Oh, seriously, when you sit down and you think about what you don't have, how did it radically change your life? It didn't. You're like, well, I really want this. Great. What do you have to do? There has to be a strategy. There has to be something that comes out of it. But what we do is we always think about what we don't have. We can never enjoy what we have. Everything that you have has been given to you by God. And God not only gives you the blessing of those things, but he gives you the blessing of learning how to enjoy those things. Some of us have lots of things. The things are not wrong. Things are not evil. But some of us have lots of things. But because we're so wrapped up in the other thing that we don't have, we can't enjoy the thing that we do have. And we get lost, constantly wanting more. Enjoy what you have with the people who are around you in the moment that you are in. And the fourth thing is enjoy following God. Enjoy following God. Now, this last one is really the trigger that allows you to do the other three. Because if you resist following God, but you enjoy the moment, you enjoy those around you, and you enjoy what you have, you are going to have a sense of satisfaction and a sense of contentment. But the depth of contentment and the depth of satisfaction and the depth of enjoyment of all of those things will simply not exist, because without understanding and enjoying following God, the other things that you enjoy can be surface only and they will not last. But God says, if you are willing to follow me, then all of those things, I will give you lasting contentment and satisfaction. Jesus actually says it this way. My desire is to give you a rich and satisfying life. And so look at what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. He says, everything has already been decided. It was known long ago that what each person would be. So there's no use in arguing with God about your destiny. So he begins with a statement. He says, listen, if we recognize who God is, we realize that he's got everything under control. He's got everything laid out. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for my life. He's got everything laid out so that you will enjoy it. In fact, sometimes we think that if God's leading the way, that we won't get what we want. But the truth is the exact opposite. Because God says if you're willing to follow him and surrender, that he will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus says, I come that you may have a rich and satisfying life. He wants to give you good things. He wants to give you a good life. He wants to allow you to have an impact on your life and the lives of those around you. He wants you to have a lasting impact even after you die. And God says, these are all the things that I want to do. But, hey, I'm not going to push you. So Solomon lays out this truth, and then he asks a couple of very pointed but open-ended questions. He says, the more words that you speak, the less they mean. In other words, the more you argue with God, the stupider you look. Some of us, maybe we need to put that on a bumper sticker or something, you know. The more you talk, the less you make sense. Okay, just say it and be done with it. Just move on. But then he goes to this. He says, listen, so what good are they? In the few days of our meaningless lives, who knows how our days can be best spent? Is it you or is it God? And then he asks another question. He says, our lives are like shadows. Who can tell what will happen on this earth after we're gone? You or God? Who is the one that really has everything under control? Who is the one that knows what's going to happen next? Who is the one that knows what's best for you, that what you will actually enjoy the most in this life? Who is the one? And the answer that he just kind of leaves out there, he says, the answer's God. And the only way that you can make the impact that you want to make, the only way that you can truly enjoy contentment and satisfaction, the only way you can be the person who you desperately desire to be is to understand that God is the one in control and you surrender and follow his lead. You might go, well, how do we know what God's plan for our lives is? Well, I don't know the specifics of God's plan for your life, because it's different based upon how he made, created, and worked in our lives up to this point in time. But I do know this one thing. God has a singular plan and purpose and desire for each and every man, woman, and child that's ever been born. And he tells it for us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, when he says this, God is patient because he wants everyone to turn from sin and no one to be lost. You see, the ability to follow God begins with a willingness to surrender to God. We surrender to God by accepting his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that each and every one of us are born sinners and set apart from God, and yet God loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us. We were born sinners. He was born perfect. We could die for our own sins and it wouldn't make a difference. He dies for our sins and he sets us free to follow God. You see, we all have a choice. The choice that we have is very simple. We can follow God. We can experience the rich and satisfying life that he promises. We can reach our full potential. We can submit to his leading in our lives. Or we can do things on our own. We can do them our own way, following our own desires. The first path leads to the rich and satisfying life and eternal life. The second path, well, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 puts it this way. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. You see, apart from God, not only will you not experience the rich and satisfying life that he promises you in this life, but you're also rejecting his promises for eternal life and life to come. God desperately desires to bless you with a rich and satisfying life, and with eternal life forever. But our sinfulness, our stubbornness, our pride keep us from surrendering and following his lead. Now, maybe this morning you've been a Christian a long time, maybe since you were a little kid. And maybe for you, today is not about accepting Jesus Christ. Today is about you stopping arguing with God. You stopping telling God what you want and what you need to be happy and going, okay, God, I'm going to enjoy what you've given me. Because here's the truth of the matter. When we enjoy what God has given us, God freely desires to give us more. God wants to bless us more and more. Think about it, as your kids, right? If you give your kids something, if you, okay, your kids, y'all sit down to eat together as a family. And you make their favorite meal. And they take one bite of it and they're like, eh. I mean, other than wanting to kill them on the spot because you've worked 24 hours to get this meal prepped, they eat it and they I don't want any more. Do you ever want to make that meal ever for them again? No, you're like, microwave mashed potatoes for you. That's from now on. That's it. That's all you get. I'm not doing this anymore. When they eat it and enjoy it, like, oh, that's the greatest thing ever, Mom. You're awesome, Dad. You're fantastic. This, oh, you're like, I'm going to make this meal tomorrow night for you. This is awesome. I love that. When we enjoy the blessings that God has given us, he's like, man, I want to bless you with more. So stop arguing with God. Allow him to freely lead your life. Maybe today, for the first time, this idea of following God by accepting Jesus Christ, that switch was flipped and you go, man, that made sense. God is the originator, the planner, the designer of all things. Therefore, God has a plan for my life and how I fit in. And when I fit into that plan, there's a sense of fulfillment and enjoyment and contentment that I can't find anywhere else. My challenge to you today would be to surrender. Stop fighting God's control and God's leadership in your life. That doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you wimpy. It doesn't make you a sissy. It makes you wise to accept the plan of the divine God who created and crafted all things and who desires to bless you through it. So let's pray together. Father God, today we've talked a lot about enjoying your blessings. And God, the greatest blessing that you ever gave us was your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world, took on our humanity, showed us what you were really like, not our mixed up, confused ideologies and even theologies that were twisted to our own ideas. And then, God, he willingly went to the cross and paid the price for my sin. Paid the price for the sin of every man, every woman, and every child that has ever lived. And God, that blessing, that gift is sitting before each and every one of us in this moment. And God, for those who haven't yet reached out and taken that, accepted it, made it their own, I pray that in the quietness of this moment, in their hearts, they would pray to you, yes, I believe. I choose to accept your Son, Jesus Christ, and I desire to follow you. And God, as we follow you, you allow a greater sense of joy in the moment. You allow a deeper relationship with those around us, and you allow a greater enjoyment of the things that we already have, and this life becomes richer, deeper, more meaningful, more satisfying, and the promise of the life to come bursts into living color. So, Father, I pray for those who have said yes to you. God, I pray that just a stirring would take place in their heart and mind, knowing that they have connected with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And, Father, for each and every one of us today, I pray that 2016 would be a year where we enjoy every blessing that you've given us. We pray this in your name. Amen.